Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Geek Actually After Show, episode 97 for the 21st of August, 2010. And the audio listeners at this point are going, but it's Wednesday. It's not the 21st of August. We do this live, people, live, I tell you. Every Saturday we go out live, starting at midday, Australian Eastern Standard Time. We go out, we record all three shows back to back, and then they are fed.
So come join the chat room and tell us what you think. Tell us how wrong we are.
Absolutely. We love our chat room, and we have a nice full chat room, which is very unusual for an after show. So, yes. Why is Snake Oz in the chat room twice, though?
That's what I wanted to know. Because when you, sometimes when you refresh, it doesn't get rid of your last login.
Ah, is that what it is? Okay, yeah. So there's actually one number odd there. Okay, yeah. No problem. All right, I am Dave McVeigh. I've been hosting here all day long, and yeah. I am joined here.
You're still the host of Geek, actually.
And I'm still the host after 3 hours now. Okay, and I'm joined by Celine Roberts. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
And we're joined by freelance published journalist George Milbott.
I honestly thought maybe I was going to get away with it that time, but Dave doesn't seem to be letting go of that. Thank you.
We're so proud. All right, for those who don't know, Josh actually was published in Australian Xbox Magazine, and we're all very proud.
We are very proud.
He's had this wonderful article published. So that's why we're hassling him.
It's like a centerfold. It's like a two-page spread at a porno mag.
Well, it's porn for the geeks, isn't it? What I thought was really funny is in the tech show, Josh was like, oh, thank you, thank you. Isn't it great? And as the shows have progressed, it's like, oh, no, no. Let's see how embarrassed we can actually make him.
I accept that challenge, sir.
What is this madhouse? This is the Geek Actually After Show. This is the end of the day. We've recorded tech, actually. We've recorded film, actually. We run the mics, we turn it on, and we just basically say, what happens? You know, whatever happens next, okay? This is our unstructured, unruled show. Although, this week we got a couple of rules because we are actually doing a film review, which is unusual. We don't always throw a film review in here, but because we missed last week, we're very sorry we missed last week. Listen to our tech show, Tech Actually, to find out all the glory details. Gory details, I should have said. It's late in the day. We do apologize. But because of that, we are a film behind schedule. And so we are going to squeeze one more film into the after show, which, of course, is the new Angelina Jolie film, Salt. And we'll come back to that a little later in the show. First thing I want to talk about, though, guys, is The Walking Dead.
First thing I want to talk about is how shit QuickTime is and how much it breaks PCs. I'm sorry, just to sideline you for a minute.
Yep.
I have been waiting since this show started for just the window asking me if I want to update QuickTime still not gone away.
Why would you run an update during the show?
Didn't do it. Did it itself. The point is, all I've done is click cancel. All I've done is click cancel, and it still crashed my computer.
Right.
I'm still waiting. Okay.
No, Snake says it wasn't a hangover of one account to another. He is on the iPad, but he's left his computer on.
Ah.
So he actually has two chat rooms
running. Cool.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's called inflating our numbers. Thanks, Snake. Everybody go do that.
Get your iPads, your laptops.
No, I will agree with you, Josh. 100%. I think QuickTime on PC sucks.
Well, I'll let everyone know when this eventually goes away. Yeah. I'm not going to reset this computer. I'm going to wait until it fixes itself.
QuickTime on Mac runs really well.
Back
to The Walking Dead. Some high-resolution pictures from The Walking Dead got released this week.
And so did the trailer, but it's very, very shaky because it's filmed on somebody's...
We played that on the show.
A couple weeks ago.
Okay, that actually came from Comic-Con. We actually played that on the show a couple weeks ago. Can't wait for it. But I've actually got some of those photos here. So I thought we'd actually have a look at some of these. And because we're all fans of the comic.
The zombies and of Walking Dead and of what's his name, who's directing it.
Yeah, and Frank Darabont and everything else. We've got some shots like this. Now, for our audio listeners, these shots are going up on Geek Actually today. So by the time you hear this, these will be available on the website. So, and you'll be able to see these. So this is one. Now, what gets me about these pictures is that they are like panels from the comic book.
Mm.
They're just beautiful. So that's one of them. And I've got another one here, which is this one, which is a very attractive looking man.
He actually looks like a friend of mine. That's really creepy.
And this one looks like a friend of mine. Oh, Josh, sorry you're here. No, I'm joking.
It looks more like the guy on the far end of your shirt.
Well, yeah, but I'm wearing a... Oh, camera's okay,
the camera's not on
not
your desk.
Not on me, no. Yeah. And I like this. This is actually straight from the comic book.
Yeah.
The horse and the whole bit. This is fantastic. So I'm really...
Looks great.
I am so... So behind
sold,
the show.
Totally sold.
Now, although all the photos I've seen are all of this Atlanta scene, so I have a feeling the first six episodes are going to be really just that first few issues up to where, I mean, we might get to the prison. I don't know.
We might not, yeah.
But we might not get there. I don't know.
Depends how much of the comic they want to put in. Or how much character development.
There's a good action shot for you. I love the fact that he's in uniform too, just like in the comic book.
He's the only thing I'm not sold on. I never liked him as an actor, so I'm very much struggling.
We'll see.
I trust Darabont, so Darabont picked him. It must have a
There's
reason.
Also a video that you can see. I don't have it here. On YouTube, if you go to YouTube and look up Walking Dead Bicycle Girl, there is a behind-the-scenes video that was made all about the creation of one of the zombies, which is the first one he encounters, the Bicycle Girl that's kind of falling apart on the ground, and she just looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. It's like 3 hours in the makeup chair for what is this, for what is effectively
like a sub character, you know?
But an important scene, so it needs a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm very keen for this.
Watched a really interesting thing with Darabont. You guys have probably seen it. It's probably already been on the show, but you know, I'm a bit behind. That had Darabont talking about The Walking Dead, and he's hoping it'll do what advertising did, what Mad Men did for advertising. He's hoping Walking Dead will do for zombies.
Oh,
so,
damn straight. No, I haven't seen that.
He wants to get zombies mainstream and kind
We're starting to see more
create.
And more.
He said he wants to create a drama about the people, and the zombies are just kind of a subplot thing almost. He wants it to be more about the character relationships.
Which is what the book is about.
Absolutely. So I'm really excited about this because I think if there was someone who could do it, he's probably the best person.
Yeah, and I mean, I've just read issue 76, which is the latest issue.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's in really dramatic territory now. The zombies actually haven't made an appearance in the last couple of issues. It's more about the people. You know, and the zombies are just it's a threat in the background, but it's about the people.
Yeah.
And it's gone into some very interesting
territory.
Which
is what makes it so brilliant.
Well, that's right, because the territory that the comic book is now in, and I don't think we're going to get to that in the series in the first season, but the territory is about how it has now changed them.
Yeah.
And they have become...
and their attempts at rebuilding society.
Because they're trying to follow
old
rules.
They're trying to go back to the normal rules, and it's just not going to work
in that kind of situation. It doesn't apply anymore. Yeah. So it's really, really, really interesting, reading. The other comic book I'm reading at the moment, and I wanted to talk to you guys, I've posed a question in the show notes, is that they are talking about a film version of Why the Last Man, which I'm currently reading at the moment. I'm up to about issue 25 or 30 or something like that. And it's fantastic. I'm loving Why the Last Man. But the question is, if they do make a film, who would you cast as York?
Honestly, I've said it before. I think the best casting thing that ever popped up was the possibility of Shia LaBeouf. I'm sorry, but Shia LaBeouf is the perfect character for that kind of a person.
It's interesting because the person I said, the first person I thought of when I started thinking about who would you cast, because I actually happen to know who they have in mind, and I think it's completely wrong, and I'll tell you that in a second. But my first thought was, if you could have made this 5-10 years ago, I would have put Ryan Reynolds in there. Because he is, even the way he's drawn, he looks like Ryan Reynolds, you know. And Ryan Reynolds has got that kind of weird sort of,
and we've already
humor.
Seen, and we've already seen that he has the ability to actually act. So
that's right, that is good.
But
he can act, and he's got the humor. And so you sit there and look at it and go, but he's too old now.
Well, not only that, dude, but the reason that I was really happy about Shia LaBeouf as a possibility for the character is, even though Yorick is the main character, the story is very much about the people around him. So like, he is the kind of character that you want to be meek in essence, you know, not a loser, but just not really the kind
not
of guy.
Not really that outstanding. He's a really kind of normal guy. Like, he's neither here nor there. He's sort of
that vaguely defense mechanism, which is he makes jokes or throws himself in.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm up to the issues now where that's tested.
Yeah.
To see whether or not he is suicidal or not.
Dude,
great scenes.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Really well handled.
Spennytoon has basically said in our chat room that they should make a series out of it because it's a huge story, and I agree. I think making a film out of it is actually a bad idea because it's too big a story.
Mm.
Now,
a series would be good.
The scary part is the person who they are considering for Yorick is Keanu Reeves, which is just so wrong in every way.
It's the age is the one.
He's
thing.
He's too old, and too
he has the age is a problem, and he hasn't got a sense. He hasn't got the sense of humor for it.
To be fair, though, Yorick is supposed to be 26, I think.
Yeah, but Keanu Reeves is in his 30s.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, I know.
And he's starting to look his age now.
Let's not say too young, because the truth is the character isn't really that young.
Yeah,
but this
think
is
Keanu
why
Reeves
I say Ryan
is
Reynolds.
He's normal enough. That's the thing. He's not normal looking enough. He's not kind of. He's got a really distinguished features. This guy is kind of meant to be almost the embodiment of every man.
Well, that's right.
You know,
yeah,
he's the last man alive.
Yeah, it's terrific.
You know, he's meant to be totally normal.
It's a terrific read.
Well, like, and, I mean, it. I think Celine hit it on the head there because that is the whole emphasis on the character of Yorick in Why the Last Man, which is that the whole thing about
he's the
him.
Everyman.
The whole thing is that it's a look at us as a people, like, you know, past stereotypes of males and so on and so forth, exactly how we are, you know, as a thing. And it's like, I just wouldn't want someone like Keanu Reeves kind of being that guy. I wouldn't want people seeing that because
Keanu Reeves carries too much baggage with him too now. I mean, with the whole Matrix trilogy behind him, and I mean, there's a lot of baggage
and also
him, you know?
Personal baggage as well.
Yeah.
He's like, he's not the person he was back then. He's not quite the free spirited kind of surfer dude that he was back in the day. So maybe back then, Look, I mean, maybe back then he could have kind of like with a little bit of, you know, acting motivation.
Yeah, the days of when he did, what was that film he did, something of Pennsylvania, was it Prince of Pennsylvania, is that what it was called,
I'm not sure.
He did? It was in that whole
Private
era.
Idaho,
yeah, he might have been able
thing.
To pull
maybe
it off.
Maybe he could have picked it off back then. I mean, like, I have seen him, like, I mean, you and me are both in agreement that we both thought he did really well in Constantine.
Oh, yes,
which,
yes.
So, I mean, like, it's not like the guy
but
can't
Constantine
act.
But Constantine is
it's
a
just,
unique
yeah.
character. Why is not a unique character? Yorick is not a unique character.
And also,
let's
be fair, though, in Constantine, he really is just a variation of Neo.
Hmm.
I mean, he's not really stretching that far away
from
that
character. We want
someone
who can be just kind of just a normal dude.
I think you're right, though. I think Shia LaBeouf might
be
the way to go.
Oh, yeah, like, I mean, in that article.
He can be just that guy.
Yeah.
That you sent me ages ago. The wording in the thing was he is the embodiment of male inadequacy. And it's like, that was why he jumped to mind immediately. I'm like, that guy is everything that normal guys are.
Mm.
You know, he's that guy that when you look at it, he's like, you don't think of him as an actor.
And he's got
like,
a kind of awkwardness to him and everything else.
And yet he's also can pull off a good time joke. And he can play mildly heroic, like, I mean, that kind of Yorick-esque kind of heroic, which is the kind of, I'm
heroic
really stupidly
only when he
doing
really
this.
Needs to, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So the question
not
is, who
out
do
of
you cast
bravery,
as...
bravery out of stupidity, yeah.
Who do you cast as Agent 3, is it 355?
Oh, you know who I would fucking cast?
Zoe Saldana.
No. I would cast the chick that played the girl in 28 Days Later. The black chick.
Yeah. Oh, that she played Celine. Yeah.
Because
was good.
No, because she's tough.
She's got balls.
She can be funny because I've seen her in other stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also she has that kind of don't fuck with me because I don't want to tell you my story.
Yeah.
Ness that I think could pull that off perfectly.
Yeah, that would work. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'll be very curious to see if they actually make this film.
And also it never really states where she's from.
Yeah.
I don't think. At least not in the first ones.
Well,
she's part of an agency,
ish,
but it doesn't
volume.
Necessarily guarantee that she's American.
Oh, no, she's American. She's part of the... They talk a lot about the agency she's part of.
Yeah, no, they talk about the agency, but the agency is worldwide.
Yeah, no, but she's... they actually do this. She's from somewhere south, I think. Anyway,
look, I'm sure they can make a point. Jamie Bell as Yorick?
No. Look, Jamie Bell's okay. He's not Yorick. I don't think he's Yorick.
All right, I'm looking him up. I don't even...
Jamie Bell, Jumper...
Kong. No, sorry, I couldn't see it.
Who was he in King Kong?
Oh,
he was the one. He was like the.
It's not a bad choice,
Ben.
I'm with you on the fact that I think he could pull off the
Billy Elliot.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, your thing still crashed.
I'm not surprised. It's QuickTime. We had a comment in our chat room before. It says Apple products plus Windows equals nothing. Absolutely nothing. So true. Look, if it was. Snake says, anything for you, Dave. Hang on, I'll log on my iPhone too. We'll have three snakes in the chat room in a minute. All right. That guy who was in Dawson's Creek and now in Fringe.
He's too old now, but yeah, he could have back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not funny enough. Pacey? That's the only thing I have a problem with it, yeah.
Yeah. I had the biggest crush on him when I was like 14.
And if he was younger, Neil Patrick Harris.
I would actually buy that.
Yeah.
That would be a great... That would be a great
If he was younger, though. Not now.
I think he could still pull it off. I'd still let him. If they chose him, I would not be against it.
They have Josh's permission.
Am I?
There we go. Josh.
It's important.
All right. Let's move from why, because I don't even know how we got there. But let's move from why. Oh, that's right, because I posed a question, didn't I?
Younger equals CG. Younger equals CG equals no.
No. No, Calisthenes. Never. Bad Calisthenes. All right. Now, let's talk about another strange actor for a minute. And let's talk about Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin.
Now, all right. Where do we start with this? All right. Where do we start? Let's start with this.
Thank you very much for being on the program again. You know, it's been 3 years since the last time you were on the show. And I will just say right off the top here, you look different than I remember. You've got a nice beard going. And
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
How is that, the beard?
In my way.
Well, is it comfortable? Is it itchy? Is it? Are you pleased with it?
I'm okay with it, but now you're making me feel weird about it.
I'm sorry, I'm making you feel weird about it?
Is there something wrong?
I can't be the first one to make you feel weird about it.
No, I guess not.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Is it, you do a lot of this?
That's just a nervous tick, I think.
Oh, just a nervous tick. You know, I saw this... I saw this movie the other night. Tremendous. What a tremendous film. You and who else is in it? What's her name? Beautiful, lovely... Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow. Vanessa Shaw.
Very nice movie. And you don't see movies like this much
is it
anymore.
In his beard? I can't tell.
And
is there like liquid
in
his
film.
Beard?
I really enjoyed your work.
Thank you.
It's, you know what, it's, this has to be set up, because it's just so well timed, you know what I mean?
It's a good setup, it's a fucking well put together.
My favorite line coming up.
What can you tell us about your days with the Unabomber?
All right, we've played that clip on the show before. All right, so bit of backstory for those who don't know. Joaquin Phoenix basically, this was a very famous appearance on Letterman. He showed up like this to promote his new film. And of course, it was around this time he basically, and he actually, I've got the clip here where, a little bit later in the interview where he said that he's giving up acting.
Yeah.
And he's going to pursue his career in music. And, of course, this got laughs, and we'll play it in just a minute. But the bottom line is that he basically said, that's it, he's doing music from now on. And he wasn't going to act anymore, and everybody thought this is the strangest appearance this actor could have ever done. Was it a put-on? Was it real? What was it for? What the hell was going on? Nobody actually understood. It then came out a little bit later on that his friend Casey Affleck was actually making a documentary about him. And the documentary was going to basically follow him on his move from acting to the world of hip-hop. But still, no word as to whether or not this was a put-on. Was it real? Was it a mockumentary? Was it a documentary? It was just a very, very strange move. And I have a couple of little bits and pieces about him. I actually went doing the old Wikipedia lookup on him, and because I was curious, because now a teaser trailer has come out for this documentary. So we are now moving into territory where it's actually coming out. Now, according to this, it says he is currently the subject of a documentary directed by his friend and brother-in-law, Casey Affleck. The documentary will follow him as he moves to a career in music, I mean, making hip-hop music while managed by rap icon Sean Diddy Combs. Mm. Filming began in late 2008. Phoenix made his rap debut in mid-January 2009, rumors circulating that it was an elaborate hoax, to which Phoenix stated, "This is not a joke. Might I be ridiculous? Might my career in music be laughable? Yeah, that's possible, but that's certainly not my intention." However, when you dig a little bit deeper, it says, it has also been reported as saying, it's a put-on. I'm going to pretend to have a meltdown and change careers, and Casey is going to film it.
Mm. When was that stated?
Stated after the original statement that he made. This is all after the Letterman. The Letterman thing was the beginning of the whole thing.
It was the beginning.
Look, I mean, I'm going to state for the record on the subject that I think in two parts to this, it's like if this is him actually, like if there's any intentional part of him actually wanting to do this, you know, past, then this is going to be hilarious. But maybe that's it. If not, and this is actually a real mockumentary, I say in this day and age, to keep people this fooled is an incredible feat of acting.
Mm. Yeah, like, well, and look, there's no doubting that Joaquin is actually a very good actor. Mm. Now, I've got a couple little bits of evidence to point to the fact that this might be a put-on.
Yeah.
Okay? First of all, let's have a look at... This is a clip from Letterman. This is a little bit later in the interview. Mm. This is when he actually says he's giving up acting and moving to music. Mm. So have a look at this.
Joaquin, what will you do now?
Well, I've been working on my music.
Music. But you know, when I saw you in Walk the Line, I said this guy is tremendous. He's singing, and it sounded great. So, is that the kind of music you're interested in?
No. I do more hip hop music.
Hip hop music.
That's a joke. What do you have them on?
I'm sorry. What do you
gas them up with? Just nitrous kicking around in this.
The kid in the front is drunk on warm Pepsi.
All right, so this is when he made his announcement. Now, there's a couple of little bits of information here that I think we should have a look at. First of all, when he first came out in that opening clip. It went by pretty quick, so you might not have noticed. I've actually done a screen grab of this. When he first comes out and the audience starts laughing at one of the things he does, he turns his head, looks at the audience, and then looks back again.
Yeah.
If you look at that clip very carefully, at the point where he's watching the audience, he actually starts to smile.
Mm. Yeah.
And then stops and turns back. It's that look of like he's about to start laughing himself. Mm. And if you doubt that, we have a little still here. Where is it? This is a screen grab from the clip, and you can actually see there's a little grin on his face.
I don't know. That's almost contempt, dude.
No. When you watch it in motion, it's a grin. And he pulls back. It's almost like that look of somebody who's biting their inner lip to not laugh.
Yeah.
Look, from the first moment I saw this on the cover of tabloids, and I don't read tabloids because I consider them a waste of my time and money, but the first time I walked past the New Jersey Interesting and saw this Joaquin Phoenix is going crazy thing, the first thing that sprung to mind was it's probably for a role.
Well, look,
that was the first thing that popped into my head.
Well, and that's what popped into a lot of people's
heads. Yeah, and it's just, like, I think we're too easy to jump on the idea of a star going crazy. We love that. We love that kind of drama. Mm. I think that's why we're too quick to jump on it than actually look at it and go, no.
And I think he's banking on that.
And he knows that.
And also, guys, as someone that, you know, basically has made a career personally out of reading people, one of the things that Joaquin's done is very, very smart, which is that, apart from, you know, the obvious nature of kind of how ridiculous he does look, he's done really smart things because by giving himself such a thick beard, it's very easy to mask your...
And the glasses as well.
Both of those are very easy to mask your own personal features, which means that it's much harder to tell if you're being serious or joking because facial movements are... under a guise, so it's very easy to kind of, like, moments like that are difficult to decipher because he has so much hair around the area. So in some ways it's like putting on the glasses with the fake mustache and the nose.
Right.
It's
like
by hiding behind it, it's your focus is off his mouth and off his eyes, which means that it's easier to sell. So I'm still under the belief that this is a complete lie.
And now the final nail in the coffin. This is the final piece of evidence that actually says that this whole thing was a put-on to start with, and it's something that has been out there in full view of everybody, and nobody has ever picked up on it until I started seeing a couple of comments on a YouTube channel.
Mm.
This is the very end of his Letterman debut as this thing.
Mm.
Now, watch him very carefully at the end of this Letterman. He stands up after being all aloof and crunched up and everything else. Now, once again, this entire video is embedded at geekactually.com for those who are listening to the audio, so you can go and have a watch the whole video. If you watch the very end, he stands up very quickly. he takes off his sunglasses and says to Letterman, almost inaudibly, he says, good job. Mm. Now watch this ending.
The film is Two Lovers, opens Friday in selected cities. Thank you very much, and good luck in your new career. I hope that goes well for you. We'll be right back with Mabel Barr, Raffaele.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the whole thing.
And the way he said it was a good job. Good job. Like, that's right. Wasn't like, yeah,
he wasn't
good
that
job.
Aloof he wasn't anymore. That he wasn't all hype. He pulls off the glasses, says good job, yeah. And it's all done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that handshake was a very businesslike handshake. That's right. Yeah.
So I think Letterman was in on the gag.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, like, it is one of those things. Like, if you were in one of those positions of power and you got sold the idea of we're planning to make a film that will fool the whole world, you'd want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And totally.
Letterman is good enough an actor to be able to pull that off.
Yeah. So. Well, Letterman's having a lot of fun with it as well because he gets to add.
Oh, dude. Business. And you can tell by there's that whole on screen comedic timing between the two of them. With the hands moving and how they're both kind of emulating each other and there's those long pauses. It's so put on.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
absolutely.
But
it's put on really well, but it's put on.
Oh, it's put on by the best.
I'd actually like to point out that there was also a little couple other pieces of evidence to this, which was after his Letterman appearance, where Letterman did say at one point, which I love, where he said, Joaquin, I'm sorry you couldn't be here tonight. but after that, in an interview given earlier the same day, on cinemablend.com, Phoenix seemed completely coherent.
Right.
So it was on the same day he did a completely coherent interview, not being that character at all. So who knows? Now
another thing, Dave, that you were saying about things that have completely kind of flipped over, you know, sort of like people have completely ignored them. I would like to add also that when I first heard about this and also last week, I actually jumped online and went to iTunes, and his music is not commercially available.
Right.
So...
Or here, at least, anyway.
Basically at all. Like, maybe from a website, but there is no... For someone that's being produced under Sean Diddy Combs...
You'd think the album would be
out. No, it would.
Yeah.
That's the honest truth of the matter.
Here is another little tidbit of information here, which actually says that May 2010, Casey Affleck's documentary of Phoenix, I'm Still Here, The Lost Years of Joaquin Phoenix, was shown to potential buyers. The Los Angeles Times reported that the film featured more male frontal nudity than you'd find in some gay porn films, and a stomach-turning sequence in which someone feuding with Phoenix defecates on the actor while he's asleep.
Awesome.
After seeing it, we're still uncertain whether it was a serious documentary or a mockumentary. The film was acquired for distribution by Magnolia Pictures. And, so it goes on.
Will that be coming out over here, do you think?
I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it's actually got a release date. It's actually only about a month away. Yeah. And what I have here is...
Because we should definitely do that.
Oh.
Like, it looks...
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting.
Now, the last piece of information that says that he didn't really give up his acting career, and this is all just to put on, is the fact that he has just recently been signed to play Edgar Allan Poe in an Edgar Allan Poe film. So he is back to acting. Okay, so this is all behind him now. But here is the teaser trailer to I'm Still Here.
That's you. Drop some water. And you're on top of the mountain. A success. But one day you start sliding down the mountain and you think, wait a minute. I'm a mountaintop water drop. I don't belong in this valley, this river, this little dark ocean with all these drops of water. Then one day it gets hot. And you slowly evaporate into air, way up, higher than any mountaintop, all the way to the heavens. Then you understand that it was at your lowest that you were closest to God. Life's a journey that goes round and round, and the end is closest to the beginning. So if it's change you need, relish the journey.
And there you
go.
Good
trailer.
There's the teaser for you. So it still doesn't give anything away.
Yeah.
They're keeping it under wraps. So, yes, we will review this film when it comes out because I am damn curious is all I can say. All right. That's pretty much everything I've got except for a film. We're going to talk about Salt. We're going to finish the show off with this review, I think. We actually managed to go see a third film this week, which, of course, is Salt, directed by Philip Noyce and written by Kurt Wimmer. Now, if you don't know who Kurt Wimmer is, Kurt Wimmer is also a director, and Kurt Wimmer wrote and directed Equilibrium and Ultraviolet. And this is one he's just written. So it's an interesting choice of writer for this film. Not really his thing, but anyway, we'll move on. It stars Angelina Jolie, Liev Schreiber, and here it is. Are you ready? I found the pronunciation.
Go.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Ejiofor,
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Now, this is a man who I've never been able to pronounce his name. But I found his, they actually have the pronunciation on his IMDb page. It's Chiwetel Ejiofor. Now, here's the one I don't have a pronunciation for, so I am going to massacre it. But I think it's Daniel Olbrychski. Okay, I think.
Olbrychski.
Yes. And August Diehl. As a CIA officer, Evelyn Salt swore an oath to duty, honor, and country. Her loyalty will be tested when a defector accuses her of being a Russian spy. Salt goes on the run, using all her skills and years of experience as a covert operative to elude capture. Salt's efforts to prove her innocence only serve to cast doubt on her motives as the hunt to uncover the truth behind her identity continues. And the question remains,
who is Salt?
This is straight from Sony Pictures. That is their exact plot description. And here is a trailer for you all to have a look at.
We got a walk-in. A defector.
He's Russian.
Neural scan is up.
Ever.
What's your name?
My name is Vasily Orlov.
Nothing. He doesn't exist.
Today, a Russian agent will travel to New York City to kill the president. This agent is KA-12.
The KA program is a myth. Scan says he's truthful.
This guy's selling smoke. Wrap it up, Ev.
Don't you want to know the name?
You're good.
You can tell the rest of your story to one of my colleagues.
The name of the agent is Evelyn Salt.
My name is Evelyn Salt.
Then you are a Russian spy.
Where'd she go?
What are you doing there? What are you doing? This doesn't look good.
I'm not a Russian spy.
On the ground!
I'm innocent! Somebody is setting me up!
Stop!
Maybe Salt is who she says she is.
Maybe it's your department. Mine is catching her so we can find out.
Drop it!
I'd just like to point out for the record that scene of her in her underwear was not in the film.
Yeah, the sex scene that they put in, that actually there was a shot of her in her underwear in every trailer. Like, that's a different
trailer. Well, there is actually a shot of her in her underwear in the film, but it's right at the very beginning when she's being tortured.
Yeah.
And so it's not particularly sexy. Yeah, but exactly. I said to my wife before I went to the movie,
they've put that in the trailer so people are like, sick Angelina Jolie nude.
There's got to be Angelina Jolie in her underwear somewhere in this film. And there was, but not that.
But yeah.
Yeah, not that.
All right. It was a bit odd, I wonder.
Yeah.
There was a, yeah,
it was a marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, I'd like to, there's a deleted scene.
Yeah, no, I would have to believe that, because, I mean, that's one thing, but to chuck something in that blatantly is a bit sus.
Yeah, no, I'd say there's a deleted scene, because trailers are often cut before films are finished.
I hope not, though, because it doesn't need a scene like that.
No, it doesn't. I think the film, let's start by saying that I actually went into this film really not expecting much. I really thought this film was going to be really average, because I'm not a huge Philip Noyce fan, to start with. The trailer left me kind of cold. So much that one, but
that
the first
one,
trailer.
The one that we've seen so many times at the Ritz.
Absolutely, repeated over and over and over again. And I have to say that I was actually pleasantly surprised. I came out of the film thinking that was a really good, the analogy in our film show where we kept talking about 80s films, it was a real throwback to a 90s thriller. Yeah. It was an old-fashioned political action thriller.
Back when we were obsessed with, you know, the fact that the world was like, caving.
Going to be taken over by the Russians. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And so, and it goes back to the days of things like Clear and Present Danger and, you know, Hunt for Red October.
It went back to that stage, and me and Celine both had a little giggle about this in the movie, because we sat there when it came to the point where they actually dropped the bomb on us that someone was going to try and kill the American president. We kind of realized that in the 90s, we actually cared about that.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, in God, someone's...
even more, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Someone's going to kill the president. Now we're just like, good,
yeah,
I guess. We'll get another one. It's fine, yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, I think killing the president is still a pretty fairly major event, but the whole Russian-American intrigue seems to have died off
now.
We're much more interested in the Middle East and all this sort of stuff. And it was really interesting to have this really kind of old-fashioned throwback thriller.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I thought Angelina Jolie kicked ass with the best of them. I thought,
and as I was saying when we were watching that trailer just then, it's actually the first time I've seen her in a film where she's really impressed me acting-wise.
Mm.
Like, she... there were scenes in there that, you know, she was really acting really brilliantly.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I saw The Changeling and she did absolutely nothing for me. But in this film, she was really kick-ass. And
we have to come clean here because...
she wasn't just badass. She... yeah. Was acting really, really well.
And like, I have to come clean here. I've never seen The Changeling, and we had an agreement that you would see Gran Torino and I would see Changeling. And I still haven't seen Changeling.
See,
I will get
the problem with her in Changeling is she's meant to play a grieving mother, and she's too stunningly gorgeous to play a grieving mother. No, it's true. You look at her and you go, that's not believable. Yeah. No matter how hard she was acting, it was just kind of like, you're really tall and skinny and good-looking. Cool. Like,
well, I know that Angelina Jolie has the acting.
I believe
chops.
Her as an action star she when she's all dolled up.
Enough. She never looked worn enough in that in the, film.
No, for she someone, didn't. Someone, for someone who someone... was searching for their missing child, she should have looked like shit.
Yes, yeah, Snake.
She would be physically strained.
Yes, Snake Oz. It was better than the Expendables.
Yes, it was a lot better than the Expendables.
It's very different to the Expendables.
Yeah,
though.
It really kind of walks the pacing of something like your Bourne films or something like that. Like, there is no major stop that isn't to explain something that will be missed if we don't slow down for a moment. It's like, with the exception
very,
of setup...
it's very calculated pacing.
Exactly. There's no... you said it best when we walked out. There's no moment in that that isn't planned.
Like, well, I was going to say, it's a very 100%. Deliberate film. Everything about that film is very
and
well
it's
planned.
Like, and it, like, in, and another thing that you said that I really liked was that it's really nice...
I said all these great things.
Yes. I remembered them. Another thing that I thought was an exact point on the film, which is it's really nice to watch a film that doesn't pander to you.
Yes.
It's like, if you don't keep up,
then
we will leave you behind.
That's right.
Which unfortunately happened to me, because I was very, very tired when we went and saw this film, and we left, and you guys were talking about how great it was, and I was like, I'm sorry, my brain turned off. What was that about?
Yeah,
so,
it's one of those films
while.
That doesn't...
if you're not sitting there actually focusing on it, concentrating on it, you will be lost.
That's right. It doesn't spoon-feed you along the way, and it's very rare these days that we're getting films
which
like
is good.
This. I love it. I love the fact that they assume that the audience has some kind of IQ, and that you are going to have to follow the story, and you're not just sitting there like Expendables shoveling popcorn in your mouth going, yeah! You know, this is actually, you have to focus, you have to follow it, you have to know what's going on. There are twists and turns.
It is quite a twisty-turny plot.
Yeah, and there are some, and to its credit, there are actually a couple of twists that I wasn't expecting, and which was nice. It was nice not to be able to say, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and it all... you know, it all follows exactly like you think it's going to happen. This doesn't do that. This kind of, when she actually starts becoming the Russian spy that they say that she is, you start going, wait a minute, what happened?
What? Yeah.
Where are we going here? Yeah. And we won't say any more than that. But, you know, it takes you into directions.
The only part that actually really, really lost me was the bit where he's explaining, when she's interviewing the bad guy like we see in that shot there. Olov, I think was his name. And he does a flashback thing. That was really poorly shot, and that really bugged me. That was one scene in it where I just kind of went, really, guys? You could have done this so much better. They do
the flashback
to when,
of the kids.
The kids getting trained as soldiers and the history
that,
of it and blah, blah,
It kind of felt to me
blah.
That they were trying to do that whole kind of, like, you know, sort
90s
of...
90s style
Well,
flashback.
No. Actually,
it's fractured
kind of,
memory. And
well, I was either thinking fractured memory or, like, you know, sort of during war documentary style thing.
Yeah,
you know,
a little
when
bit.
You
well,
see,
yeah,
like, the filming things.
I still think the way it was put together, I personally was kind of sitting there, I'm like, I get the message you guys are getting across, I understand what's happening, but I think it just could have been shot a little better or put in there a little better.
Not sure if I agree there, but I actually I would recommend this film to people. I would actually say that if you are iffy on the film, if you think maybe it is worth seeing.
Yeah, it's worth having a look at.
You sit there and go, it's not...
It's worth seeing her act well.
It's worth seeing her act well. It's worth seeing her kick ass like hell. Mm. I mean, she moves really, really well.
Yeah. And it's nice just, to see a film that doesn't use shaky cam.
Absolutely. Yes. That was the next point I was going to say, is that, with when we come to that term deliberate, every scene feels planned. It doesn't feel like we're just a shaky cam and a guy following somebody and the action happening and you never know what's going to happen next, which is unfortunately how we seem to make action films now. We seem to have lost sight of an action scene can be staged. And these action scenes...
This whole thing is just broken, man. Your laptop is screwed. I can't even turn it off.
Is it still talking?
I think it's like crashed completely. Let's put it under the table.
Let's put it out of its misery.
It just won't turn off. I can't turn it on. I can't even power it down.
We'll pull the battery out and reset it later.
Thanks, Apple.
Just quick time on PCs. Do not mix. Anyway, as I was saying, so each of these action scenes... You feel you can actually follow the action that is actually taking place. You know the moves that are actually taking place. You never lose track of who is where and when.
Which to me builds a stronger action hero in a film, because you know that the person can kick ass, as opposed to seeing a flurry of movement and just being
and like, I assume he bit everyone. I mean, okay, Paul Greengrass handles that shaky cam in the second Bourne film really well.
He
manages to really make it work. We've had many people imitate that, including Paul Greengrass himself, because in Green Zone, it doesn't work.
Just did not work at all. Way too low res.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whereas in some of the films like Eagle Eye, where DJ Caruso has tried to put this sort of technique into place, the action scenes become so messy that is this flurry of movement, and then what you end up with is at the end of it, the good guys drive out, and you go, oh, they got out.
Yeah.
You couldn't actually see
what
was going on, because there was so much activity happening. Several times I thought their car had crashed, and then they drive out at the end and you go, I'm
lost. Particularly on the large screen, sometimes it can actually be really hard to follow what's going on.
Absolutely.
When it is that, you know, like I'm standing like an 85-year-old when I say this, but stuff like in the first Transformers where it was just kind of like, there's all this... movement and colors and explosions thrown at you, and you can't actually see what's going on.
See, I thought Transformers was skirting the edge, but I followed it. I think Transformers 2 was a mess.
Yes, Transformers 2, I meant. Sorry, not 1. You could never
tell what was going on.
Yeah.
Michael Bay was
just throwing his camera at things. And it happens in, you know, other action films as well, like the Green Zone as well.
Green Zone was a mess. It went from really
high res to really low res to handheld to points where it looked like you were just looking at a black and brown murky screen with some weird blobs moving around. Like, it was just really, at times, hard to follow visually.
This was nothing. What are they saying in our chat room here? I fear that the 10s movie genre will be 3D. What?
Yeah, somebody brought up the fact that 80s was action films, 90s was
thrillers, and the 10s will be 3D. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's because of the 3D revolution, it's going to definitely be that way. But yeah, this film was a surprise, and I love a surprise.
Yeah.
I love it when you go to a film and you, it's like when we saw Moon, and you sit there and you go see it and you just go, it's so refreshing to have, it's like, you know, it's like a reset button.
But like Moon, I was always looking forward to, whereas this, I think I just got surprised because I got a decent popcorn film where I was expecting, due to reviews mainly, that the film was going to be really atrocious.
Yeah.
And I don't think it deserves that, because it's actually, it's tightly made and it's well done for what it is. It tries its best to be just, you know, a good thriller. And
now,
that's
one of the things that a lot of the pre on this film when it came out was, of course, that it was originally supposed to be a male lead. It was, the film was originally called Edmund E. Salt or Edmund C. Salt,
something like that.
And they had basically courted every male action star in Hollywood, including Tom Cruise. And of course, everybody had turned them down. This film wasn't going anywhere. And Philip Noyce said it was actually one of the studio execs who came to him and said, "What if you made the female, what if he made the lead a female?" Because Angelina Jolie had expressed interest in playing an action hero. And so they took it, they rewrote it, they created this film as it was. And I think an observation I heard recently, and I agree with, which is that I think it was actually the smart move to do. Because what it effectively did was cut back one of the cliches.
Exactly. Because otherwise it would have been a really, really cliched film.
Absolutely. I think if it had been a male lead, this film would have just been one of any other film that had come out. By making the by changing the gender of the lead character,
they suddenly broke a lot of stereotypes.
It broke a lot of stereotypes. It broke some of the rules that you weren't supposed to cross. There's a famous quote from Angelina Jolie where they've asked her to be a Bond girl on many occasions, and her quote is, "No, I want to be Bond." And now she has her chance to do that. And as Josh said, the ending of this film leaves you in a situation where you go, God, I would like to see a sequel to this.
I would actually really like to see them take this somewhere.
Because I reckon
the next film would get a lot darker, and it would get like the. It's one of those classic, classic concepts of a sequel that we talk about, where it's the concept of taking what you had in the first one and taking the rules away.
Yeah, well, because you've got the origin now. You've got the setup out of the way. Now you can just cut loose.
Just see her kick ass.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Tenfold.
Well, again, it is. The sequel to that, my only fear is that the sequel to that would basically just be Bourne 2. Because it would be that whole concept of you've got rid of the only thing that was keeping him
back.
Yeah. Which was the girlfriend, and then we just went mental. So it would be much like that, but based on the fact of her upbringing and the fact that she has no... She does try her best not to massacre everybody in the world, but she does it only because she's that good that she can. She would never stop due to the fact that someone got in her way, and we've seen that multiple times in the first film. It would be really great just to see her with no lines of reason and just being like, I'm going to kill everyone I need to.
I think it's an intriguing premise.
If nothing else, I want to see them take it somewhere else, be it comic books, be it something, you know, expand the story out. I want to see it grow. And wherever you have to take that to get that
What would happen, and this is kind of spoilery, we don't want to spoil, but what would kind of happen if you had this rogue agent at your disposal now, which the CIA guy kind of does. He kind of has this...
No, he has a calling card, like he's owed a favor, if nothing. He let her go because he knew that she's the only one that could find them.
Yeah.
Whereas there's the concept more in your mind, which is the fact that you know that she's not going to be controlled by him at all. And he knows that. That's why he pauses. He doesn't just let her loose because he's like, I'm letting loose a tornado right now. But in some essence, that's why I'd love to see the sequel, because I reckon the sequel could really amp that up.
I like Snake in the chat room is actually saying goodbye to himself.
Bye, Snake. Oh, right. He's shutting down
one of his accounts.
But that's it. I'm done.
Yes. Final words.
I really enjoyed it. I would recommend it, if not just to see Angelina Jolie act really well.
And beat the shit out of people.
I would recommend it to older people as well, because it is a great kind of 90s style action.
Yeah, I think this is a film.
Action thriller.
Yeah, I think this is a film that crosses
and
ages.
And conspiracy theories and stuff.
No, this is a cinema film.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's what we used to go to the cinema to watch.
That's right.
Used to go to watch something that would just give you a really good experience that you could start your weekend
with. Quite frankly, this is a film that a family could go see, because everybody will get something out of it.
Yeah.
The older people will get an interesting story. The younger people will get action. You know, the boys will get Angelina Jolie. You know, it's like, so there is something for people. And I came home because my son likes action films. And of course, at his age, you can't show him all action films, because some things are just a little bit beyond him. But I said to him, I said, this is a film that I would quite happily take him to go see. You know, it's got lots of action.
You wouldn't think it'd be too hard for him to follow what's going on?
He probably wouldn't follow a lot of the story, but he would get enough out of it on another level that
to
he
actually
would
enjoy it.
That's right. I remember when I was about, I think I was probably about 10, I was dragged to see 3 Days of the Condor, which I did not understand.
Yeah.
It's only later viewings that I actually really
loved
3 Days of the
Condor. Mission Impossible 1 was mine.
Well, there's another one.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed 3 Days of the Condor because there's lots of people and there's intrigue and there was, you know, shadowy. I didn't really understand what it was all about, but there was enough in there for me to get into. And Mission Impossible, the same sort of thing. There was enough explosions and people, you know, being stabbed.
That as a kid, you can enjoy it.
And you can get into it.
Watch it later on in life.
Later, and you go, is that what it meant?
Yeah.
You know? And I think this is one of those films. This is, you know, this film is Mission Impossible for this decade.
Yeah.
You know, for the original Mission Impossible movie, not the series, but the movie with Tom Cruise. This is, what is it? We're talking 10 years later or something. That this is that film again, you know. It's got a bit of intrigue. It's got a bit of action. It's good stuff. It's not earth-shattering, and it may not be remembered in 10 years, but it's a good film. It's well worth having a look at now as an entertainment. So
sure,
I would recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably about it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. So we're going to just do a few of our little credits and things that we like to do at the end of a show. We have a little bit more time under our sleeve, so we're not quite as rushed as we were. Whoa, hello.
Apparently we're so not rushed. We're going to show you another trailer.
No, it's the same trailer. Actually, my hand hit the space bar. It started to play automatically. I apologize. All right, so we're going to say agree or disagree with our take on this film. If you loved Salt or hated Salt, let us know. Or if you think that Joaquin Phoenix is a whack job, or if you think it's all a put on, let us know. Feedback at geekactually.com or voicemail us at 02-8011-3167. That is an Australian number, Sydney number, in fact. You can help support this show by buying a t-shirt or a mug or a mouse mat or anything like that.
Everybody's waiting for the new artwork.
Oh, I think so too. Do you hear definitely. That? Is he still in our chat room?
He actually said that before. He said they're very, very close to finishing.
Very good. Because we need the new artwork because we're going to launch a new group of swag. cafepress.com.au/geekactually. And you can also follow our fan page at Facebook, which is, of course, facebook.com/geekactually. And I should probably change the camera around, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
There's also one free double pass left as well.
And yes, I have one free double pass left. Thank you very much, Celine.
No, don't thank me. Thank Claro.
Clara Tongue.
Tongue.
Remember these people? Remember these? These are the Splice double passes. We gave out five of these in the first week. We announced it in the second week, and it was like a ghost town. So we still have one left. We've given out two in the chat room. All you have to do to get a double pass to Splice. Remember, this film is not going to last at the cinema forever. So if you want to get to it,
get to it now.
Send me your full name and address to an email at feedback@geekactually.com and I will mail you a double pass. No tricks. That's it. You don't have to answer any questions.
You don't have to pay anything. First one's in, get it.
So it's as simple as that. Okay. He's laugh out loud. Just call them Clara. Okay. Now, we also have a couple of friends that we're going to mention. I'm going to save you till last, Josh, because yours is longer. First one I'm going to say is moviefanhouse.com is the home of the Movie Fan Cast, which is a podcast by fans for fans, and it's all about movies.
Hey, when did we agree that we were finally going to allow them their name? I'm sorry. I'm still not happy with it.
They do it. If you're going to search in iTunes.
That's true.
That's what you have to search for. That's cool. So all right. I have to give it to them.
I just needed a reason.
I like Movie Fan House myself. But anyway, Movie Fan Cast, find at themoviefanhouse.com. They review movies and they're pretty good. And they've also got Brad has now started his own podcast called Right This Instant, which is all about Netflix watch instantly movies.
Yeah.
And apparently they've got another one up their sleeves, which I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about. So we'll hold off on that one. But they have got a whole bunch of stuff in the works. So go and check their stuff out and go listen to the Real Junkies, Real Junkies podcast. That's R-E-E-L. They drink a lot of tequila and they review movies and they're a lot of fun. And you can find them at weekendronan.com or search for them on iTunes. And of course we have to plug our very good friend Josh Philpott.
The published
freelance journalist.
Don't make it sound difficult or anything. You're like, and we've got to do this guy as well.
I'm just waiting for you to panhandle again on my shows.
I need money. No. Hey, look, I'm almost done. I think this will be the last week I'll push for it.
Got me change, man.
That's pretty much what I'm doing. If you guys are wondering what I'm talking about, over at rawdlc.com, if anybody has a few spare dollars they can sling, we're putting a fund together for a new computer, which we need for the show. If you guys have got anything, let us know. Other than that, please give us a review to both our show and, of course, all the Geek Actually shows as well on iTunes. All you have to do is type in DLC into the search window and Geek, and pretty much all of our shows will show up on there as well. And just click the ratings stars and give us 5, we would hope. But you can also give us less if you don't think we're worth that. Just because it helps us move up in the charts and get onto things like new and noteworthy, which means more people find it, which means more people in the chat room and so on and so forth.
And then
so
more
please.
People will give you money.
And then, no. People don't want to give us money. That's fine. I get that. That's where I'm going to stop. That and I'm just sick of being told I'm panhandling.
Well, see, I'm just waiting for you to finish panhandling because then I can start again. But I'm not going to panhandle on the same show that you do. That just sounds terrible.
Anyway, and the last thing is, of course, we have a live show as well, which talks all about games and everything exciting in the games world, done by three journalists now. I guess I can call myself
three
a journalist.
Three published journalists.
Published journalists. And we basically discuss gaming and, of course, the state of gaming and the industry itself. So please come over and check us out. If you want to, that's rawdlc.com/live. Dave, take it away.
Oh, sorry, are you finished?
Money.
All right, so yes.
I'm leaving.
Go check out rawdlc.com. I download your podcast every week. I'm very faithful. I haven't listened to the last couple. I download it every week. It's time, man. I've been rebuilding a computer. Give me a chance.
It's got a wife and a family to think of, Josh.
Damn straight. But I have actually logged into Watch You Live a couple of times. Sometimes I don't always log into the chat room because it's harder on the phone. But anyway. All right. So we will just remind you all, because we love our chat room. And today we've had a really nice chat room that stuck around with us.
Yay, chat room.
We go out live every week.
And yes, Snake, I do need a sign that says we'll broadcast.
I'm going to damn well make that sign, and we're going to put it around your neck this week.
Dude, we should do a post on your website, which just has a picture of me like that, looking slumped over with my hand out with the sign.
Piece of cardboard.
No, around my neck with the one piece of
rock. We'll broadcast for money. I love that. That's so cool. All right, we go out live, and you can join this wonderful chat room of ours every Saturday, starting at 12 p.m. for the tech show. An hour later, we start the film show. About an hour and a half after that, we start the after show. And who knows how long it takes us to get through that. And you can come to geekactually.com/live. All right. I think that's it. I think the only last thing we have to do before we get out of here is, because he's in our chat room, and that's not the only reason, because we did it last week and he wasn't in our chat room, but Josh Spencer, the amazing, amazing Josh Spencer, and his wonderful, and I don't have the goddamn... super on this desk, because I keep changing the desks on me. I'll fix that, rectify that for next week. But Josh Spencer is the cartoonist who is working on our new cover art. He is fantastic, and we will have this new
cover.
He
will make art for money.
He will make art for money, that's right. And you can find his other work at attackninja.blogspot.com, which Josh and I particularly think is a wonderful URL.
Very cool.
And it is just terrific. And you can find his other work. He is a genius. So, Josh... And he's going to come on the after show at some point, aren't you, Josh? We're going to get you in here. Maybe once you get your artwork finished.
Whoa. Jabs at me, jabs at Josh.
Josh, get the artwork finished, and the day that we debut it on the show.
Have Josh on the show.
You can be on the show with us.
Yes, he says. Good. Very good.
All right, we will... We're going to get out of here in the meantime. And that computer, I keep hearing random noises.
Dave, you out of all people know what that sound is. That was the whole point. I was trying to turn it off because it was still on sitting here on the table. So I was like, look, just turn off. Oh, great. Now it's doing updates. Just fuck Windows.
Leave it alone. One of 12. Leave it alone. All right, we're going to get out of here. I'm leaving you today with, because we reviewed a film, we'll leave with a little bit of the score of that film. We have a little bit of the score from Salt. This is from the end credits. So we'll catch you guys all next week. Yes?
Yes.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye.